Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 695. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
My hurricane machine is locked and loaded. What red state are we hitting next?
Wow. Earl is here.
I feel like I have to go before Tony because he always breaks me recently.
I break you. I try to break you before you get to speak. That's what I'm aiming for.
I just want to say that I'm happy that this podcast is not powered by windmills, because when there's no wind, there'd be no podcast. And when there's no wind, there's no podcast. And it means you can't go back and listen to your favorite podcast because there's no wind and those windmills don't work. And, you know, this is, I weave. I start somewhere and I go back and people think I'm rambling, but I'm not rambling. I'm telling a story. I know what I'm talking about. You know, it's smart. It's genius. Like, you have to be able to go back to where you started when you weaved and you dodged and you dived and you dodged.
And we've all left the podcast.
That's right.
Jeff is back from one of those red states, Arkansas.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good victim state. We could set it right up to Mississippi. I mean,
you know, you could post about hurricane machines on Facebook, but if you post a picture of the word cocaine, you say goodbye to your Facebook account, apparently.
What?
I like this story. I like it. I've been following the Jeff saga on his Twitter because he can't follow it on Facebook
anymore. You didn't see this, Chris?
No, I must have missed it. I don't check Twitter a ton, and I haven't noticed anything on Facebook. So,
well, you won't on Facebook.
Jeff is one of the few people's accounts that I actually look at, because I'm like, I care what Jeff says. Most of the rest of Twitter, I try to avoid.
Well, then you got to see something very funny. I mean, funny to you, not funny to me. So I got like a wrong number text. It's a scam, but the person was like, "Is about everything ready for the party tomorrow?" And I replied, "Yeah, I was able to get the cocaine." And they replied back, "Oh, this is the wrong night." And I was like, "Oh, okay. I thought you were someone else too." I'm like, "Well, I hope we both have great parties." And I screenshotted that text exchange and I posted it on Facebook. And I was like, I got a wrong number text and decided to reply. You know, I thought it was funny. And then I also was like, just so you know, this is like a wrong number scam. They try to like lure you in and befriend you. And then eventually they'll like try to get money out of you. Right.
Right.
So like, beware of these. And within of like posting that on Facebook, my account was permanently deleted.
Wow.
I'm out of Facebook. Yes. Like, it literally, because all of their, this is, I mean, I've gone down a rabbit hole of this, but I believe I'm right. All of like their content moderation on there is done by like bots and shit. And so like, it just scans for stuff. Like, I can't believe it found it in a picture, which is amazing to me. But it treated it as if my picture said, like, call this number for cocaine. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah, I'm fucking, I hit the appeal button. And it's also clear that the appeal process is done by bots. It just rescans the post and just like, cause like within 10 minutes, it was like, appeal's been denied and your account is now disabled. I'm like, okay, well, there goes fucking almost 20 years of fucking Facebook, but oops.
That's wild.
It's kind of
a thing. There's a lesson here.
The lesson is don't make jokes, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. Like, read the whole term of service.
You can spread misinformation all you want.
That was my right. Joke there at the top.
If you were joking about making hurricanes happen, then you'd have been fine. But
if you're spreading like literally like half of Facebook is fake news, and I'm fascinated by that part of it, that's okay, apparently. But the word cocaine, don't do it. I gotta be honest. I'm actually like really like upset and pissed about it. But like, what can you do? There's no recourse. It's over. So
it's weird that there's not an option for you to like appeal it and just be like, listen, this is a joke.
I mean, they let you appeal it. They don't let you say anything. There's just a button that says hit appeal this, and then like there's no human that ever reviews things, because if a human did, they would have not disabled me in the first place.
Right.
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 AI doesn't get jokes.
Not yet. We're not quite there yet. And it wasn't.
Gotcha.
Like, post was like informative. Like, it was like, hey, this is a scam that exists. You know, like, you might want to avoid this.
Like yours was worthwhile. Like, it was just like, it's you get a telemarketer, you fuck with them. Like,
yeah.
It's like that. You just throw a text like, hey, yeah, dude, I got the cocaine. Like jokingly, like, but I mean, I guess they don't know. I got banned from Reddit a few months ago and I appealed, but they must have a human that appeals. And I was able to like type in why I thought it was wrong as well. And they were like, oh, yeah, we fucked up. Sorry.
Well, how the fuck do you get banned from Reddit? Because Reddit, as far as I can tell, is the wild fucking west. Anything goes on that fucking site.
It depends. I think each individual part of Reddit has its own moderation staff, so that you can say some things on some that would get you banned on others.
Somebody was monitoring. I commented on something on some political, like one of the R politics or whatever. and like I had gone to this one guy was just like responding to everybody. So I was just thumbing down like all of his responses. Cause they were shit. Cause that hides them. Like if you get enough negatives on it, like it'll just like mute that person. And I guess that person was like mass reporting everybody. And it's like, at all these people that were negative thing him. And I was like, I was legitimately doing what you're supposed to do on Reddit. Like, they were like, yeah, yes, our moderation tool's fucked up. Sorry. How was Arkansas? You got out. I mean, you weren't in any danger of a hurricane hitting you while you were down there anyway, but
it was sunny and 80 degrees every day. Didn't do much. I was just there for a wedding. So, like, one day we did go to this town called Hot Springs that is very much like Gatlinburg or the Dells.
Okay.
You know, it's just a bunch of stupid tourist shit. Although, weirdly, like, that's one side of the street, and the whole other side of the street of this downtown is dedicated to bathhouses. And it's like...
Bathhouses.
Yeah. Yes. Like,
what year is this? Like 1850?
I think most of them are just like museums now. Like you could just visit. Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand.
Like that used to be like the reason for Arkansas, right? It was like there were lots of springs there. People would come there to like vacation. That was like the thing, right?
Except this was like in the 19th century. Fine. There was a sign in the downtown explaining the bathhouses about how like they used to have spring training for baseball or what, but baseball players used to come there, and the bathhouses were very popular because they thought it would get rid of their hangover in the morning, and so that was like the popularity of the bathhouses. Like, okay, dude.
Yeah, that's what they went for.
A few more dump signs than here. A few less Kamala signs.
But they had some. No.
No, I did see it. I did see a house or two with a Kamala sign. But, you know, that's the state that is probably plus 20 Republican, you know?
Yeah, but it is like it's nice that some people are.
For some people. Yeah. That's why we should not have electoral college, but hey.
And like just locally, I know that like it's likely gonna swing towards Harrison Walls here. Like it's probably like 54-46. That's how like signs. Clinton went, that's how Obama went. But yeah, the people that get the signs are like the crazies, and like most people don't put political signs on their lawn.
Dude, if you drive around my neighborhood, it is all Kamala signs. There's not a single Trump sign. There's kind of like a few blocks down, there's a big Trump banner this guy has on his one of this place that's like, take America back or something. But like, my nice little year, all you see is Commonwealth signs. That's it. I'm like, holy shit, dude. Like, if we're basing this on my neighborhood, this is a blowout.
You're in a good spot.
I guess, right.
Here too, but, you know, but I mean, this place is like as blue as it gets.
I take it as a good sign, because my city is like 50-50, kind of. Like, mm-hmm. It's not, you know, it's rural. A Trump vote here, for sure. But, like, they've either gotten shy about it, or I don't know what. But I'm going to take it as a good sign for now.
The ones here...
About all this?
There are, like, there's the crazies that have, like... Their entire lawn is peppered with like Trump signs, and it's just like, one, what are you guys doing? Like, your lawn looks stupid,
right? Like, why are you your house your looks lawn?
Silly? Like, you have a giant sign like that, like giant, like it'll probably hold two people to hold up, and then a bunch of like little yard signs. Like, it looks like you're a crazy person.
It sucks that like be covered with all these like fuck you fucking stickers, yeah, and Trump and this and that. You're like, dude, do you realize you look like a fucking insane person? Like, I would be like afraid to talk to you even if I was Republican. I'd be like, this guy is fucking too much, you know?
This one's over the edge.
Settle down. One bumper sticker is max.
And I saw somebody with a BMW that had like a fucking Trump Vance sticker. I'm like, what? You fucked up your car, man. Like if I'm driving like a shitty car, maybe I'll put one on, but I don't like putting bumper stickers on my car as it is. But like, if I'm driving like a nice car, like something that's costly, I'm not putting a bumper sticker, especially not a political one.
Yeah, no, agreed.
So video games, I assume you guys played some stuff for the last
year. Sure.
I don't know. Earl and Jeff, you have both been playing Echoes of Wisdom. I think it had just come out when you guys were last on.
It came up that day.
Yeah.
So I think Jeff and I were talking before the show. He just beat it. I am nearing the final dungeon, but okay. I'm throwing it down because I really don't want the game to end, which I guess spoilers explains that I really, really have enjoyed my time with the game.
Yeah.
Honestly, okay, first off, let me just amend statements I made on the last podcast. For the most part, I would say 90% of the game, I do not notice performance. I went to the Fair and Wetlands, and I'm like, oh, now I can see what people are talking about. Like, it's not game breaking, but you can totally tell that the game is like not consistent in that area. And I don't know if it's because it's dense with trees and the field of vision and the blurring stuff or whatever. But that area in particular was the one that I was like, oh, I feel it more than any other place in this game. But again, it's still really fun. That aside, again, absolutely delightful game. I've explained it to people several times because going into this game, I was, you know, looking forward to it, but I didn't know what to expect really, in terms of like combat and stuff like that. And I tell people, like, I've upgraded my sword. I've upgraded the, you know, sword master mode. I think it's the highest level he can be, or she can be. And I forget that exists. Like, most of the time, I'm just like, what new and fun echoes do I have? What type of weird and stupid combinations can I make? Oh, tries upgraded. So what can I do now? And it's like, it's great. Like, there are times where I'm like, okay, you know what? I will walk around with an army of moblins because I can spawn five of them. And I can get like two with boomerangs, a couple with swords, and some with spears. So you get distance. You get close in combat, and you get an army of people in front of you to do your bidding. Underwater, I'm like, I can just throw out a shark when I need to, or like piranha. The piranhas are actually pretty useless. They race to the surface. It's the tangiers, I think, who you actually want to use in the water. Because the other thing is, like, there's little, you know, little elemental things. It's like, there's parts of the game where, like, you're underwater and you can't really see too much. So you thought this tank is level 2, I think. I don't think the other ones do it. And they have little light bulbs on their head so they can light the way in front of you. So at that point, my you can spit out echoes further. So, like, you spit them out ahead, they zip across, you can kind of see where you're going. It's, you know, very gnarly. I was talking to a friend yesterday and explaining, we were, you know, comparing notes about when we ascended the mountains. And like, it's like Breath of the Wild, where, like, you know, like, if you're in extreme cold, Zelda will start to take damage. You can take potions for that, and, you know, like, heat resistant. And I made potions, but I was like, let me try something. This is how it worked in Breath of the Wild. So I just spawned an Ignacio Echo and walked around with it. And it's like, oh yes, I have a fire thing. I'm walking with a fire thing. It's gonna protect me. I don't need a potion or anything like that. And when I need to do combat, I just gently place it down, spawn a couple of things to fight on my behalf, and pick it right back up. Or if you want, you know, you can go crazy, spawn a bunch of them, and just start chucking them at enemies because they will light certain enemies on fire. Again, you know, some of that stuff is also really cool. Like, you know, there's a drip tune, which is a singing frog, which you can use, and it will summon rain. So you can do that in certain fire areas to put out fires, or, you know, weaken fire enemies and attack them. Then there's times where, you know, like, you want you have uses for some of these echoes, and then, you know, you use them for traversal. Again, I know a lot of people get by the water cubes, which I think was one of the things Nintendo promoted. But I've been a huge fan of the crawling spider. You set that thing up, you bind to it, and you follow it, and it crawls up. Like, that's how I was able to ascend most high spaces in the game. Like, I'm just going to watch you go. The one thing I do wish for was some of that, because the spider was great, because the spider crawls mostly up the wall. Birds are unpredictable. So I have been told that you can, echo certain foods. So you can, like, use that food and have the bird follow it. But, like, I try to use the birds, and, like, I just want you to go in a direction. It's like, no, we're just going to either flap around here, or we're just, and sometimes they home in on enemies, which is fine. But it's like, oh, I'm trying to follow you somewhere up, or to get a heart piece or something. Like, you have a mind of your own.
You could also use them like cuckoos, like, where you can just lift them up and hold them above your head and use them as, like, you know, fly around if you got, like, a little bit of height.
Oh,
you
know? Okay. I didn't even think about that. Oh, I mean, that does remind me. Though I really was sad this is the only one that I know of that does anything. Because at a certain point in the game, if you've seen the promotion materials, and I think the cover, like, Zelda's in, like, a hood, like, in a cloak and hood. At a certain point in the game, you can unlock different costumes for her to change into. And the only one that I know that does anything of note is you get a cat costume that I also talk. One is a side quest that involves it, but it allows you to talk to the stray cats as well. I think it's really cute, but I was like, oh, I wish other costumes would have had something to do with that as well. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've just had an absolute blast with it. I think, you know, the overall story is fine. It's a Zelda game, but I think some of the individual stories are really great. Like, I mean, my favorite is Condi, which is the Yeti from the mountains, and just that little story beat. And then I like the Goron, the new chief kid. I did not care for the Deckers and their little cotton candy subplot, but again, I like that. I like, you know, like, some of the characters have their own little things. Some of the side quests come back into the main story in some ways. Like, near the end of the game, you know, like, okay, that goes too much into spoilers. There's certain stuff where it's like, you do something with this person will kind of help you, but you go back and talk to them, and their dialogue will change, and they will acknowledge that this happened, and, like, oh, here's a thing for you that might be of assistance or something of the likes. So, yeah, and the music also really aces. So, I think I said this on Twitter, is I think Jeff and I need to convince you two to play, because it is, I think right now, it has surpassed Biathro as my Game of the Year contender.
Nice. I have it, and I'll be playing it on my trip down to South Carolina this weekend. So
Yeah, I'm.
How do you feel about it?
I'm with Earl 100%. I love this game. I think it is a great, great Zelda game. It's just, you know, we touched on it the week it came out. It's such an awesome combination of the new and the old, and, you know, the experimental, like, combat and the summoning and shit like that, and puzzle solving versus, like, kind of a traditional Zelda, like, 2D Zelda game. I want to back up with Earl real quick. So do you have the Chomp Fin?
Which one is the Chomp Fin?
It's like a shark.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to need that. Or you're going to want that. I guess the only thing I'd add, well, two things. One, I think I have one disappointment with the game, which is that, like, a lot of side quests or, like, the hidden, like, optional things that you could find are, like...
I was going to say the same thing.
It's just here's 20 rupees, or here's, like, 10 peppers. It's, like, give you, like, ingredients, which is, like, yeah, the crafting could be pretty important, but like, not. I don't know. I would like to see more... You know, even cosmetic costumes or something, you know, I don't know. Just there are useful things out there. I got stuck and I had to backtrack and explore the map more and fill it out. And, you know, I did find I found a glove that produces more energy for like when you're using the sword.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just feels like a lot of the side quests. They're fun to play, and like the little, like Earl said, like they have little story beats to them, like, you know, and it's fun and interesting. But then you get to the end, it's just like a treasure chest with a red rupee. It's like, okay, this feels like a missed opportunity here. And I guess the other thing I would say is that before you had passed the point of no return, which they will kind of point out to you, you definitely want to go and prepare. Like the final boss is 9 phases long. I think it takes over 20 minutes to beat. And I messed up and went in there with like 1 potion left, because I had just fought a boss before that I thought was the final boss, and I like wasted all my potions. And it just wasn't happening, dude. Like, I would get to the 7th or 8th phase and just somehow get fucked up every time. So before you head to the end, go in with, like, man, I'd go in with, like, at least 15 fucking potions to refill your health.
Okay. Because I what I was going to say, because you brought up the thing I forgot about, it's like, cause I was like, some of the rewards would be much better if you actually had to use potions that often. The only fight the only one is the quote unquote main Zelda boss that you fight halfway through the game. That's the only one I've used potions for. So out of the times I throw out echoes, I'm like, I'm just gonna make a bed and sleep in it real quick. While they do something. So okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, that is a cool thing that Earl mentioned. It's like, if you're just like sitting in a room and you're safe, like you just throw down a bed and lay in it and it fills up your health. It's slow, but it's
what I did is like once it fills up, you get up and go back down, and because it fills up faster the first time than if you just stay there.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, so it is, but again, usually if it's a boss battle, it's a bit different, especially being like a lot of bosses will target you. It's like the final bed you get, because you do upgrade the beds. The final bed you get is, I think, like 4. I forget if it's 3 or 4 of the tri power. So it does take up a lot, but it refills 2 hearts per each time. So that helps. But that is good to know, because I've not used any. I mean, aside from that one battle, I've actually stopped. That's what I was going to say. It's like, it would be fine for them to give you grapes and pumpkins and apples and milk or whatever, but everything you can use them for, usually it's one of two things. It's one side quest, which just gives you more rupees. And I feel like most of the games, rupees, you don't get smoothies. It, the biggest thing you spend them on is like your accessory upgrade with the Great Fairy, and that's still under 2,000 rupees all total. Or smoothies, which I didn't use that much, but it's good to know that I should probably stock up on a bunch of them.
Yeah, you before you go to the end, all those ingredients you collected will be useful. Yeah, outside of the ending, like I think there was one point where I was fighting a boss and I needed lightning protection because I wanted to hit him with my sword, but I couldn't run in because they're electrified. So I needed a potion for that. And going all the way back to like what Earl was saying about like not using the sword, like literally the only time I use the sword is when you stun a boss and it's just sitting there. So then you're like, I want to run in and do damage on it.
Yeah, that's
exactly. Other than that, it's I almost let the echoes do all the fighting for me. It's awesome. It's just like a cool summoning class. Like I love it, dude. I fucking love the game. Again, one minor complaint is that some of the rewards for your exploration are minor.
Okay. I'm looking forward to giving it a go. Tony, is that one that you and your kids are looking at?
Maybe at some point.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah.
All right. Oh, that was Zelda. Tony, you play anything this week?
I've played many things. I think I closed the book on Ara History Untold. That game is not good. So I talked about it on a previous show. It's, you know, it's a Civ-like 4X game.
Yeah.
With an incredibly complex economic model. I played through it a couple of times and I realized a few things. The first thing I realized is that the economic model is like the entire game. The other parts of it, like moving armies around the map, are really insubstantial. They never feel like anything. Also, the AI opponents tend to forget about those elements. So, like, if I'm building armies and moving them around, like, the AI kind of builds an army at the beginning of the game and then forgets to do anything with it ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as time moves on, you're like, oh, I'm sending in my army of knights and catapults, and oh, look, they have spearmen and, like, ancient dudes. It kind of feels like the AI never doesn't play the game very well. And the other thing is, like, the economic model is so complicated that if you have a couple of cities, it's fine. But after a while, it becomes so unwieldy and annoying to be managing, like, 20 workshops across your empire. And, like, each city is, like, producing, like, 8 different things. And it's really hard to play with all those little fiddly bits. Unless that is your jam. Like, unless you love balancing the number of urns made in this city with the number of plows made in that other city over there. It's I don't play these games for that. And it's not, I don't find it fun. So I kind of like put that game aside. That game is not great.
Okay. I'll be skipping that one then.
Yeah. I would skip that one. I look forward to actual Civ in February. So wait for that one.
So out of the Microsoft, strategy games, Age of Mythology is the one to play.
Yes, absolutely. The other one on Game Pass though you might want to try is Frostpunk 2.
Mm-hmm.
Or Frostpunk. I mean, Frostpunk's still on there.
Frostpunk's a good one.
So if you haven't played Frostpunk, the premise is the world has been encased in ice and you're like in charge of this group of people trying to survive when the entire world is just encased in ice. Your little city tends to form around some sort of heat source, and you build like houses and you build like things to extract materials out of the ice or food out of the ice or whatever it happens to be so that your people can survive. And that was the premise of the first game. This game the guy who was in charge of that little group of people has died, and you've taken over. Except that the people don't really believe in you. Like in the first game, you were kind of like, you could make all the decisions, you could figure out who was doing what, and assign people to do that. And like the big challenge in that game was like managing your workforce and managing your limited heat supplies to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But now you don't have the full support of your people. So there's this council that will vote, and it will vote to support you, or it could vote you out and you will lose the game. Now you can.
So you're keeping them happy.
Yes. But there are these factions within the council, and each faction wants different things. And you can promise factions things during these votes that will have make them vote for you, but that will also make you use your limited workforce and your limited heat resources on things that that particular faction wants. So you end up in this like balancing act where you're trying to like keep yourself in charge. But you may force yourself to do things that in the long run make you lose, like make everyone die. it's kind of a fun new twist on a game that was really fun to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
It's also sort of in terms of strategy games, lighter on the lighter side. There's not a ton going on at once. Like one of the advantages of having a limited workforce and you know limited resources is like you're only doing a couple of things at a time. So like if you find like city builders overwhelming, this is not overwhelming.
Okay.
But it is like it is very dark. Like the game will bring you to decision points and you have to decide things like you have limited resources, and it's there was a point at which I had to choose between like sacrificing the world's last colony of seals or forcing all of the old people within my little colony to walk out into the ice and perish so we'd have enough resources to survive. So there are moments where you have to decide between that kind of thing.
That's a little grim, but I mean,
that is quite grim.
The setting is quite grim. So
yes, it definitely has a very the reason they call it Frostpunk. It definitely has like a steampunk type vibe that is very very dark underneath it all. And like despite the ice covering everything, you're like building these large like steam powered machines that like move resources around. It looks super super cool to watch. So I have enjoyed that so far. I look forward to playing a lot more of that game. That game is definitely worth taking out for a spin.
Good.
And then I finally finished after, how long has it been? 9 years?
Yeah, almost a decade, I think.
I finally finished The Witcher 3.
What the fuck?
This is my third attempt. The game is 3 acts long, although the first act is almost the entirety of the story. The other 2 acts are so short. The first time I played, I didn't get through the end of the first act. The second time, I stopped somewhere in the middle of the second act. This time, I made it. I did it. I made it all the way to the end. And like that is a great game. I love it very much. But damn, that campaign is too long. It really makes me appreciate how the stories are built in Bethesda games, where you have like a main campaign, and then you right. have all of these like all smaller faction campaigns. Because mm-hmm. this one, you really have to play through everything to get the full story, and like even if you like try to skip bits, it'll push you back in to do those things that you skipped as part of the main story. Like you have to resolve all those bits to get all the way through. Which kind of means that there's like this really super, super long story that really overstays its welcome. Now I love it. I love all parts of it. It's a great story. This is too long. Like, I don't want to play through, like, one story for, like, 70 hours. This is too much. So.
Yeah, on the other hand, gameplay doesn't really change up much. Like,
Yeah. It's just, like, it's a great gameplay. It's really fun. But, like, it gets tedious after a while. And, like, I've had so many sword fights now that I kind of go through them on autopilot now. And, like, I finally get to the final boss of the game. Aridin, I think is his name. And, like, he didn't hit me. Like, the final fight of the game lasts for, like, 10 minutes. But at that point, I've played for 70 hours of this one particular gameplay style over and over and over again. Well, I'm really good at it now. And this is supposed to be the final fight, but the guy is just like, you're just too slow. So, I don't know if it changes. Like, I haven't played the DLC. Like, I don't know if that is any different, and I probably will at some point, but I need a break. I need to move on to it.
Yeah, and that's like another 30 hours too.
So. Yeah. I can't do that right now. There are other games. Like, I just started Star Wars. God, why can I never remember what it's called?
Outlaws.
Outlaws. Yes. I played through the opening area, got in my airship, flew off to a new world, and I guess we'll actually learn how to play the game from there.
Yeah, I think you're coming up on like the forced stealth mission that everyone was talking about. It's like once you're done that, then the game really kind of kicks in.
Yeah. So you steal the ship after that other mission goes haywire.
Yeah.
And you land on the planet, you get on your speeder, and you speed through it to the city, and that's where I am right now.
Yeah, so you're like right, you're almost there, like where you're going to get a mission, you have to infiltrate, I think it's the Pikes, to steal something, and that's like the forced stealth mission that supposedly maybe they fixed that one.
Yeah. They there was just a huge patch for the game, which is why I'm starting it now.
Yeah.
Cause it sounds like they fixed a lot of the issues people were complaining about, but we'll see.
I think it's fun. And as you get, it's ostensibly a heist. It's a heist story. So you are putting a crew together. And I think that the people that you start recruiting are fun.
Yeah, it's got like a very Star Wars meets Uncharted type vibe right now.
Oh, the gameplay is definitely very much that. So I'm still playing it, just kind of like fucking around in the open world.
Yeah,
and I'm finding that quite enjoyable. So.
I look forward to play more of it. It seems pretty interesting. And it looks great. Absolutely looks fantastic.
Are you playing anything else? Is that about it?
I think that's about it for now.
All right. Earl, do you play anything else besides Zelda?
I think I explained. I finished Grok. Borderlands again. I played a game.
Which Borderlands? The first one or
three?
Three.
Could I also say just real quick, especially as one of the few people who've actually seen Borderlands, I guess they updated it now. It's like when you go in, it gives you a huge advertisement for the movie, and like to pre-purchase Borderlands 4. So like we all started it, and it does it. And I guess I don't know if we pressed the wrong button or we pressed too fast. But then it was on the Xbox. It took us in the Nintendo Explorer to buy the movie. I'm like, I've seen it. I don't need to buy it again. I've seen it once. I did have a nice up.
Once was enough. I'm done.
I don't need to own Borderlands the movie.
I don't.
No.
But then I started a game. Fudgicles. It's not called Fudgicles. What is it called? It's called. Why can I? Oh, it's. You need help, or you. It's a co-op. It's a weird co-op game. It's not a weird co-op game. It's a cute co-op game. But it's weird in the setup that you are essentially like random Tetramos that you don't, like you can get different shapes. And then there's certain puzzles like, oh, you have to get the ball into the hole. You have to like navigate your way around to like press buttons together. And it's cute, but as far as I can tell, it needs four players. So they do allow you to do two-player co-op, and maybe there's something in the settings I just missed, but they allow you to do two-player co-op by each person controlling two characters. It's like the left half of the analog, the left half of the controller would be one character, and the right half would be another character. It's just really weird, because like, my head is so accustomed to like, do analog, so I keep on trying to move one of the characters to move the camera or to readjust, and it's just very confusing. But it's cute, but it's a nice co-op experience, but it doesn't have anything to it, really, in terms of, what am I trying to say? Yeah, in terms of anything, really, like, there's nothing going on in that regard. It's cute, it's on Game Pass, so.
Okay. And Jeff, did you play anything else?
Just the Diablo 4 DLC.
Okay.
How is that?
I'm like a bad person to ask because I love Diablo 4, so it's like more Diablo 4, hell yeah.
How's the new class?
At first I was like, I don't know, like, you know, you're just figuring it out. You know, you don't even have any fucking moves at the very beginning. You know, you're starting fresh. But by a few hours in, I'm like, this might be my favorite class. Like, out of the ones I've played, it's like the rogue, but better. Like, I don't know. It's for one, you know, the ultimate move that I chose.
Mm-hmm.
Is centipede that comes out of the ground and fucking spews fucking green shit all over the place and shoots giant fucking lasers, lines of enemies, and it lasts for 15 seconds. That might be even longer now that I've upgraded it a few times, but boy, do I love pulling out that ultimate. And it, like, the cooldown on it is like maybe 40 seconds. Like, there's often times, like, I'll be in a fight, and I'm using the ultimate several times, and it is fucking awesome. I have a move that it's like a whirlwind that pulls everyone close to you and does damage to them. But I also have a move that it's like a mini centipede come out and kind of like poisons everybody and scares them and makes them run away. So I could do like the move where like I scare and set them scattering and then pull them back to me with this fucking, you know, this little tornado and then my move where like you just like dash back and forth like four times and like damage every hit as you like go in this dash, like this long dash, and it just fucking flows. It just, like, at least like the build I came up with for the Spiritborn, like, man, it feels really good and fun. And, you know, I haven't even completely, like, you know, built it out yet. So yeah, the Spiritborn is a winner in my opinion.
Okay.
As for like the DLC itself, it is nice to be in an area that is green and lush and a jungle and not like the whole, I think, you know, a good criticism of the rest of the, like, most of the rest of the game is like dark and gray. Yeah. So that's nice to be in a new environment. It's nice to be fighting new enemies that I haven't killed a billion times. It's nice to have some new bosses. So there is
question on that, like,
yeah.
So the overworld, because Diablo 4 was an open world game, like, yeah. It was all big and connected, like the cities are all connected, unlike in previous Diablos where it was like, you know, you would do an act and it would be in this one area. Is this connected to the main map,
or is it like a new?
Okay,
if you loaded up your Diablo and you looked at your map of Diablo,
mm-hmm.
You could probably guess where it is.
Okay.
There's like this, there's a spot on the southwest of the Mountain Blank, and it's been, I'm sure people theorize that's where it would be before it came out, and that's where it is.
Got it.
So it is of, you know, just becomes part of the game. And you could just start at the Vessel of Hatred part of the, you know, the campaign.
And does the new character start, like, leveled up to, like...
No.
Okay, so they're starting at one.
They will give you enough points to get to, like, level 7. They, you know, they give you some points to start off with to you know, start building your character. Now, you can bring your other character that you had been playing with previously, but the DLC, or I don't even know if it's the DLC or just the new season, changes the level cap. So the level cap in Diablo 4 is 100. And now that the DLC is out, they've changed it level cap to 60. One thing that's kind of like annoying to me is...
Wait, they went backwards?
Yes.
They made it lower? That's weird. They
truncated it. Yeah, like... And so, like, annoying things to me and my wife is, like, we were working towards level 100 because there's actually an achievement for that.
Yeah.
We were, like, level 80. Now, like, whether you get the DLC or not, the level cap is now changed to level 60. So if I wanted to play as my character in the DLC or just in general...
You become 60.
No, it's level 50 now, so they give you something to work towards still.
They have to level.
I guess
I don't like that.
I guess, you know, they are doing a lot more on the Paragon part, sure, but still, it's a little, like, one thing that's, like, annoying to me about Diablo, or, like, maybe it's something I'm like, not used to, because I don't play a lot of games that have seasons, but it's just, like, you're, like, all invested in something, and then the new season starts, and it's, like, all your progress is lost. Some of your loot that was, like, awesome is no longer fucking, like, applies anymore. It's, like, junk or gone now, and it's, like, it just feels like this big reset that happens all the time. I'm not a huge fan of, just because, like, hey, man, we were looking, like, it was getting a little boring, but we were working towards level 100, you know? So, like, that is, like... I don't know if it's disappointment, but it's just like this weird adjustment. It's like you're almost playing like a new game. You're like, what the fuck is going on here? One other thing I noticed so far is that there's like a new type of world boss, which I don't know if you guys are fucked with that when you were playing Diablo 4, but
I did. I've tried one and we did not beat it. And
oh, really?
it went bad.
So. You know, if I open up the map and I see a world boss, I'm going to go get it, because by this point, like, everyone will just fuck him up in, like, 2 seconds, and they'll be dropping some good loot, right?
Right.
There's a new one that's called, like, a Realm Walker, which is, like I get... Because it is, like, it takes, like, 10 times longer than a regular world boss, because it's constantly spawning, like, things that protect it. So that you cannot damage this Realm Walker until you, like, kill everything around it. And it's so hard to keep up with all the stuff that is spawning around it. Now, on top of that, when you kill that, it's not like, here's your loot or whatever. It's like, here's a portal you could go through. And once you go through that portal, you have to do a dungeon. And you have to choose, like, one of, like, before you even start the dungeon, you have to choose, like, I want, like, equipment, or I want, fuck, man, like, 2 other useless things. I can't even think. I'm, like, blanking out what the 2 other things are now, but things that, like, you don't care about, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you want is equipment, but you need a certain amount of orbs. I don't know if you remember those things. Like, so, like, I went through all this shit, and I got into the fucking dungeon. Once you get in the dungeon, you're on your own. You're not with the other players. And then, like, I wanted to select, yeah, obviously I want an equipment award for doing all this, and I didn't have enough orbs to fucking even do that. And I was like,
oh, that sucks.
What a fucking waste. Like, this is, like, it's way too long to, like, fucking, like, not get anything. Now, once I get orbs, we'll see. There might be some good fucking, like, legendary fucking shit dropping for you. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But yeah, I guess I kind of went on longer than I thought I would for a game I've only played, you know, like four or five hours so far. But
how long
I'm enjoying it.
Is the expansion supposed to be? Do we know?
The review I watched said it's like six hours.
Okay.
But I'm not like far into it. Like I'm fucking around and just getting my bearings and whatnot. If my wife goes to bed early and I still want to play, like I don't advance in the story. I'm just off doing side quests or looking for world boss or things like that. Also, congrats to my wife for the first time ever not playing a sorcerer. I thought for sure she would have just brought her sorcerer over. And she chose, I was like surprised because I was like, dude, that's a. I was trying to talk her into being the druid because I think she would like that because it's, it's still magic-y and cool.
So that's the one where you change into a bear. And...
Yeah. I think the druid is like my. I don't know. Yeah, I think the druid might be my second favorite class. But she chose the barbarian, which I'm like, I have not played the barbarian, but I just picture the barbarian being boring. I played with my one friend, and he was the barbarian all the time. He's like, look at all these, like, I could buff you guys. I'm buffing you guys. I'm like, this looks so boring, dude. like, all you can do is swing an axe and, like, make us stronger. What? Like, but
wasn't there like a spin move that the barbarian could do too?
I used that and I tried to tell my wife to select that. I said, our friend Eric really likes the I think they call it whirlwind or whatever. And of course, as soon as I was like, all right, whatever. Like anytime I suggest anything, she will do the opposite just to fucking be an asshole. like I'm literally like, okay, you have enough points now to get your ultimate. Like, you should get that like as soon as you can. She's like, I don't know, I'm gonna build up my like basic skills first. I'm like, you have, but get the ultimate because we could kick ass. I just ultimately, I'd be better off not even telling her to do anything because then she might do what I would want her to do.
Better chance of that. Just suggest the opposite of what you actually think.
Yeah.
I'll go for the ultimate.
Don't do that. That's a terrible idea. Oh, you know what? I really want the ultimate. I mean,
don't grab the thing that kills everything on screen.
Reverse psychology, Jeff. Very important. Yeah.
Just throw some points into like your health or your strength. all right. Well, I will probably play that at some point. I am not a huge fan of the price point on that expansion, but
it doesn't bother me to like end up playing another 50 to 100 hours of this. So I'm good. Like it's fine.
It's like just seems high for, you get like 35, 40 hours out of the base game of Diablo 4, and then they're like, how about $40 for another act?
I wonder if it is just one act. I'll be kind of mad if it is. Is it one act? Do you know that?
I mean, that's generally how it's worked, right? Like the Diablo 3, like they added Act 5 or whatever it was.
Yeah, but was that like a $40 DLC?
I think it was 30.
I really hope it's not one act. I know that you're correct. Yeah, like Diablo 3, it was just like, here's another act. But they were like treating this as like such a big deal that I almost pictured it like Shadow of the Erdtree, which obviously it's not going to be that. It's a sequel to Elden Ring. But I just thought this was a slightly bigger deal. So I'm hoping. And I know I'm going to get the time out of it anyways, just like fucking around and build like, because we play past the campaign. We just keep going and trying to get better shit,
Yeah, there's plenty to do in it. I might wait a moment or two on it just to, there's so much other stuff to play right now that, and like that, lots of $60 and $70 games out there to add in a $40 expansion. One of those $70 games, I played Silent Hill 2 Remake.
It's 70?
$70, yeah.
And?
It is a very good remake of Silent Hill 2. All the good and the bad that comes with that game. It is. I think if you go in, and Jeff, you played Silent Hill 2 like way after the fact, right? Like, yeah, you played it on 360 or PS3. Yeah. So don't go in expecting an upgrade from Resident Evil 2 to Resident Evil 2 Remake, because it's not that. Like there was a, you know, a huge difference between Resident Evil 2, which was tank controls, kind of fixed camera perspective, to Resident Evil 2 Remake becoming a, you know, full on third person over the shoulder type game. This is still like, it's still an over the shoulder, you know, Silent Hill 2 originally was an over shoulder game. Huge foundation in like adventure game stuff, just like Resident Evil, where it's, you know, like weird, strange puzzles to put together. Like, oh, there's this, you go to this diner and there's a record player, and in the record player is one half of a broken record. So then you got to find the other half of the broken record and then glue them together, and then a quarter to play the record. And then when you play the record, it gives you a key to somewhere else. Like, it's that type of goofy. Mm-hmm. Puzzle solving. And then there's these like weird ass monsters that are roaming the streets of Silent Hill, and that combat still sucks. Like, it's it's miserable to and like James, the main character in Silent Hill, isn't meant to be. He's not, you know, he's not Leon or Chris or, you know, somebody, he's from like Resident Evil,
dude with a crowbar,
right? Like, he. I think the weapon I currently have is a, it's like a 2x4 with some nails sticking out of it.
Yeah.
Like, and like that's the type of game that was. Like, I don't think you're supposed to engage in the combat, but for whatever, not that you aren't supposed to engage in the combat, but it's not like the primary focus. Like, you're wanting to like,
yes,
avoid combat as much as you can.
It's even less so than Resident Evil. Like, it is. Yeah. It's not the attraction. It's more the atmosphere and the puzzles.
Yeah, because like once you get
historically, go ahead.
Even once you get the gun, like when you aim the gun in Resident Evil 2, like Leon and Claire, like they know how to aim it, right? Like, you're aiming it like a gun. James is like, he's kind of all over the place. The aiming is shitty. Like, it's his aim is just a little bit off because he's moving around. It's just designed to not be a comfortable combat experience, because you're not supposed to kill every enemy on the screen. They're supposed to scare you. And, you know, you're going to take shots and maybe you'll hit one and that'd be great and you kill it. But you're not going to sit there and like do a last stand in the corner of an apartment building. You're going to try and like knock one down and move on.
Run.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds like Silent Hill.
Yeah. The game looks very good. I'm like playing it. I'm like, this looks. It's one of those things where your memory of the game is what you're playing in this
game.
Like, it's like, I remember Silent Hill 2 looking fucking awesome. And it's like, if I pop that into my PlayStation 2 right now, does not look awesome, I bet. It doesn't look bad, but, you know, this is considerably better looking than that. I like it. I'm gonna, you know, keep playing it. I've only done like the first main area. I just got to the apartment complex, and I don't even think I've actually transferred over. You know, one of the things with Silent Hill is that it's alternate realities. So there's like the actual Silent Hill that's like normal. You know, humans are there. It's still creepy as shit, and there are monsters crawling around, but there's other people. And then there's like the nightmare world, where everything kind of goes very industrial. The lighting all gets all fucked up, and it's bloody and red and rusted everywhere. So I haven't done that yet. I haven't flipped over into that arena yet. I think that's where you'll eventually see Pyramid Head. So I haven't seen him yet. You know, that iconic, which they try and tie Pyramid Head into everything, and it's a literal manifestation of James's psyche. But they use him as like a mascot for Silent Hill. I like what I played of it so far. Only on PlayStation 5 and PC right now. I think there's a year-long exclusivity deal before it can come to Xbox. So that kind of sucks, but I am pleasantly surprised. I did not have great expectations that this was going to turn out well, considering the developer, who's not done bad work, but they've not done great work before. They did The Medium. They did that Blair Witch game. They've done like a couple other horror things. They're fine as a developer. They're just not, you know, they're not what you would have a whole lot of confidence in them being able to execute a game that has like the cult following that Silent Hill does. So pretty good, though, from what I played so far.
I thought about it. I really did. I am thinking about it still. Let me ask you a question. What would you do? What would you recommend to me? Would you recommend I buy Silent Hill 2 Remake or Alan Wake 2?
I like, just in general, like if you were to put like Alan Wake 2 against Silent Hill in general, I would pick Alan Wake 2. But for you, I think you would have a better time with Silent Hill.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Because you're aware of like how I find their games a little goofy. Is that why?
Okay. Yes. Like, and there are things in Alan Wake 2 that you're going to be like, I don't like what the fuck is going on here.
Yeah.
There's going to be things you're like, this is awesome. And then there's going to be things you're like, and they've jumped off the cliff. And like, that's the stuff that I'm like enjoying in Alan Wake 2. And you're going to be like, this is dumb as fuck. Like, Silent Hill 2 Remake is.
Mm-hmm.
It's Silent Hill 2. Like, there's some added stuff in there. There's some new areas. Like you have access to some buildings that you probably didn't have access to before. There's some, you know, stuff you can explore there. That's the one thing I will say. I don't know if there's much, like, outside of, like, the lore stuff, which you're probably not big on, like, going around and picking up. I'm not really sure if there's much need to go and explore other places. And it's very similar to like Resident Evil, where it's like, oh, like, you know, there's a glint over in that room, and like that's, you know, that there's something here. And like, you know, once you kind of look around, there's nothing else glinting, you know, you've cleared it. I do like that in the Resident Evil 2 remake, where once you cleared out a room, though, it would be like, now it's blue because now there's nothing else here.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like,
and you have a map in Silent Hill. It's just, it's a paper map, and James will, like, when you do stuff, he'll like circle stuff or like, you know, here's where you want to go. And I think when you do clear it, he actually X's out an area as well. But it's a little bit more sloppy. Like, the Resident Evil map is super elegant looking.
Yeah.
In fact, I played a little bit of Resident Evil 2 recently, and you go in and you find stuff. If you haven't picked it up yet, it will show you on the map, like, hey, there's a green herb in this room.
Yeah.
There's ammo in this room.
The map in the recent Resident Evil games, just awesome. Love it.
Yeah. I would recommend, for you, recommend Silent Hill 2.
Okay.
I think it's more up your alley than maybe what Alan Wake 2 is.
I think, you know, part of the allure is, you know, it's another PlayStation 5 game I could play.
Yeah.
but, you know, also, yeah, I really did like Silent Hill 2 when I played it. And it's one of the few video game stories that I thought was really good. I wouldn't mind revisiting it. I love survival horror. I might try to wait a little bit just because I have Diablo, and maybe right around the corner is Black Friday, so maybe it will not be fucking $70. Probably not. The games I always want to go on sale never fucking do.
So it's not a Sony game, so I think there might be a chance. Like, I don't think you're going to get like a super deal on it, but maybe $50.
That feels way more reasonable to me, but yeah.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah, so Silent Hill 2, I'll update as I play more of it. Real quick, one other thing I played, and I found out Jeff does not like this game at all. So,
from my memory, I played it when it came out. So, do you know what year that game is? It's like older now.
2020, I think. Okay. The game I'm talking about is it's a platformer called Pumpkin Jack, it's kind of like Halloween themed platformer, I guess. Like, it's your guy has a pumpkin for a head. It's not explicitly like, oh, this is Halloween, but it's coded, it's very much
very Halloween themed game. Like, absolutely. Yeah.
So I was like, I want to play this for spooky month. And I liked it. It was fun. I had a good time with it. It's 6 levels. At the end of each level, there's like a boss, and you know, it's standard 3D platformer type stuff, like where, you know, the boss has, you know, 3 phases. You have to hit it 3 times to, you know, do the damage to it or whatever, and you know, you move on. But the levels were fun. Some good actual platforming challenges. There were a few. There's a few that I don't like where it's like, here, balance on this beam that zigzags across, and Jack's going to move really slow during those bits, and he can't jump during them either. That's probably like the one area I was like, I don't really like this. But there are minecart levels where you're on a minecart, you're jumping tracks, and there's a, you know, where you use a headless... I guess you are the headless horseman. You're on a horse and you're running through areas, and they do a bunch of like these little mini game things throughout the game to spice up or give you a change of pace from the standard like action platforming that you're doing. And I found it to be quite a good time. And the last level is at the North Pole, and you blow up Santa's workshop twice. So that was kind of fun. I had a good time with it. I paid $2 for it, so
yeah,
that helped for sure.
I don't remember what it couldn't have been like.
It's like $20, I think.
Yeah, when it came out. Had to be. So like, my memory of the game, which I don't think I beat the game, and I remember not liking it. And what I can remember, like, to me, it just felt like. It's made by one guy, and it's one guy trying to do action adventure platformer type game, and I think it's, you know, it's intentionally trying to feel like a PS2 era game, but like that just felt very weird to me playing a new game that is intentionally trying to do that, and also like it's, you know. Pretty clearly, like, you know, does not have a big team working on it. A little rough around the edges, you know what I mean? Probably a very small budget. And for whatever reason, I normally look past all that stuff, but for whatever reason, like, the game just didn't click with me, despite the fact that, like, I bought it on site because it's called Pumpkin Jack. It's a 3D fucking action adventure game with, you know, that is very clearly Halloween themed.
And you're the one that you did. I told you, I was like, did you play this? And you were like, yeah, I didn't like it. And you were like, I think Javi liked it. And that was what I remembered. He recently had talked about it with me, and I was like, yeah, I think I want to play that. And then I came up on my Steam wish list for like $2. And I was like, I'm in.
I think me and him were like the only people, like when it came out, we were both like, yeah, fuck yeah. And then like, I fell off of it very quick. Speaking of like Halloween themed games for the season,
yeah,
is anybody like considering getting that Halloween, like literal Halloween game coming out?
I have it on my wish list. They're also doing a Evil Dead,
yes,
one as well.
They are both $25.
Yeah, dude. That's what is. There's evidently three games in each of them, but even for that, like three games at $25, and I don't know how long those games are or how good they are.
Exactly. Like I'm kind of expecting like just kind of a shitty like Splatterhouse type game, which I don't find super compelling anymore. But, you know, I'm fucking, like, ultimate Halloween fan over here. I'm like, I can't not get this, but I'm also just like, I don't know, dude. Like, I just look at that price tag, and I feel like they're just robbing me. The highway robbery, man.
Yes. I have them on my wish list. I'm hoping that maybe there'll be, like, they'll go on sale, like, right when it comes out. Like, sometimes that happens.
They realize it's not going to sell. But yeah, no, a lot of times games are like 10% off at least.
Yeah. Like even that, $22.50 is maybe closer, still too much. Closer. But I'll keep an eye on it.
I'm interested to see what the reviews are. Because, you know, if they say it's like a solid that type of game,
yeah,
I'll probably give it a go as a Halloween fan. If not a fan of that genre anymore, but I don't know. You know I'm buying this shit.
Absolutely no, you're gonna get it. And I'm saying I'm not, and I might not buy the Evil Dead one right away, but I would probably buy the Halloween one.
I'm not a fan of Evil Dead at all, except like the remake, but like the whole Ash and all that, like I just don't care. I don't like it. I guess if you buy them both, there's like some sort of like cross functionality bullshit.
Oh, but wow, like you can bring Michael into the Evil Dead or Ash into Halloween. That's goofy.
I ain't doing it. I ain't spending $50 on those goddamn games.
So I'm gonna continue playing Silent Hill for spooky season, and then have the last Dark Pictures game that I also want to play this month. I'm drawing a blank on what that game title is, but it's the one in the house. It's kind of like a Saw type house. House of Ashes is the one that's the one in Iraq, I think. The Devil in Me.
Okay.
It's Jeff, these are by Supermassive. They're the they're the Until Dawn people.
Yeah.
And they were doing like that anthology series. There still are, actually. They finished season one. They're gonna be coming back for season two next year. It just took them 3 years to do the to do their first season. So but The Devil in Me is like takes place in like a haunted hotel type thing where there's these like Saw type traps and stuff in it. So it's the only one I haven't played yet. So I have that on tap to play for this month. And Earl, you watched something kind of video game adjacent for spooky season.
Yes. Or two.
What is that?
Well, spooky season's the month of October.
No, but, I don't know. Spooky season. I know.
It's two movies I watched, actually. They are called Live Scream and Live Screamers. And if the name and the very subtle pun doesn't give it away, they're movies about essentially Twitch streamers that are horror. Or adjacent. So the first one is it's a solo streamer. He's playing a stream. Yeah, somebody tells him about a game. He plays it, and it's just him and his chat. So it's a the actor has to do a lot of work, and so you him on the screen. But like it's set up like that. You have him on. You know, you have his chat, and you have the game, And like he's playing through the game. And what I do like about this one is like you go through different rooms and each one is kind of like a different era of like indie horror game. So you get like the 2D Pixu Japanese horror game. You get the it's super dark and you're creeping around rooms and something's gonna pop out and scare you. You get the ones where you're kind of in a room and you have to like solve a puzzle by like, you know, here's a cargo and stuff like that. But how, and then the final one, spoilers, I guess, is kind of a zombie. It's like a DayZ type thing. It's a zombie crafting survival game.
Okay.
But each time, so he gets 5 lives in it. And each time he fails, it kills somebody in the real world. And again, you don't see this. A lot of this you see, it's just, it's contextualized. You, like it will be like, I think the first one is like one of his buddies, his chat people are like, well, I think something's in my house. It sounds very much like that thing in the game. And then it's like, so-and-so exits the chat. And then the game tells you like, okay, you know, like, so, you know, this is for real. And you know, people have an opportunity to leave. So, you know, and then, so again, it's him reacting to a lot of this stuff. And I thought it worked out really well. Because there's a lot of ways this can go wrong. And, like, there's ways, like, they do ways, you know, like, not just the game. And, like, it does force you to keep playing. There's no way to back out and stuff. So they do get around that. But just, like, the fact that they do have, like, these mini side stories that pop up. Like, one of the things, you get, like, a troll who comes in. Like, one of those people, like, ah, you're a loser. This game isn't that scary. I don't even know you're that bad. And like everybody's trying to warn him off about it. And he's like, he's just trolling. So like at some point he has to pick like 2 people to stay with him. Then everybody else can go. So like the troll's like, I'll stay. So he stays and then he gets bored. So he's like, I can't use the chat. I can't use the chat. I can't use the chat. And he starts cussing and all this other stuff. And you know, so eventually he gets his. But again, super compelling, super gnarly idea. And it works. I mean, it's. I think it's like 75 minutes, so it does, you know, it doesn't overstay its welcome. Yeah. I've Screamers, if the name does not give it away, is about, it's essentially, if you've ever watched like a Smosh or any of those channels where it's not an individual, it's like a community of streamers who do a bunch of different stuff. They probably do skits together. They probably play games together and stuff like that. So they're all in the same house. And this one is really nice because it's one game, it's one solid game, but you can tell that they got a budget because it's like a free 3D, like haunted house game. And then this one, because everybody's in the same house, one, the setup is slightly different because the game takes up the majority of the screen, but then it's like, I forget, I think there's like 7 different screens of them all streaming their thing. But because you see them all on video and because you see them in the house together, when they get killed, they get killed. It's this one's very fun with destination, and like you get killed in the game, and then you get killed. Like as you get killed in the game, you get killed very similarly in real life. So like the first one is a person gets axed in the head, and like you just see her head just being like cut in half and whatever. Very. I mean, it's not super bloody. There are, you know, there's moments like one person throws up. This kind of like, I forget the name of that game. It's a board game too, but there's like a Steam game where you're trying to get somebody to defuse the bomb, and it's like one person is defusing the bomb, and everybody else is communicating what they see to get them to match it up. So they do something like that, and they fail. So they blow up. And again, this is very similar. Like it takes a lot of that kind of, I don't know how much you folks watch Twitch. I assume, like me, you folks are much too old to be sitting down watching other people play video games. You have your time in your life. But I've seen some of these kind of indie horror games that are just really designed for people to stream, and they're, you know, like, oh, it's really dark and you got a flashlight and you have to walk around this flashlight for the simulated sight to see stuff and the likes. So, you know, there's elements of that. There's like a big boss, you know, there's like a noise making thing to distract people. You know, there's that one thing you can't kill. So again, it's really gnarly in that, like, I think the biggest thing for me as both a gamer and a horror fan is it respects both of them. Like, there are legitimately, I think, tense moments, but I think part of the tension comes from understanding how these games work and how this human works. It's like, okay, there's a, you know, like a very like, again, the bomb one, there's a countdown to the timer, you know, they're trying to figure out, like, the puzzle is very, it's very much like you find, they find a solution, but it's not just a solution. Everybody has to find a solution, because it might be, if I think it's like wise, if it was the first one, cut all the fuse, then the thing doesn't have any fuse, and somebody else finds the thing where all treat all fuse as zeros. So they're like, okay, then if that's the case, that means that this actually isn't, this doesn't start with another, this starts with a fuse. But then if you find a fuse, so it's like cut the red wire, and then like, okay, so there's three different pieces that people found. So again, I like that stuff with its cooperative, elements, and it's, again, these people are, and it's kind of funny, they do go through like a lot of streamer culture really quickly. Like, there's like a Me Too moment in it when you find like one of the guys is talking to underage fans. You know, another one is like running this business, and he's just kind of accepting like the racism and the homophobia because they need the money and stuff like that. So it's again, you could tell like, this was made by somebody who actually lived the at least paid attention to it, not just like these are very obnoxious gamers who are just having and shouting next year and subscribe. Like, they are actually generally talking to their audience, they're engaging, and they're very problematic and troubled, but it works out really well, and I just really had a great time with it. I really enjoyed the second one. The first one is really good, but you know, it is. It's enjoyable, but again, there's always that notion of like, there's really one person carrying the movie, and if you don't like that one person, it can go either way for you. So
where can one watch these?
So Live Scream is free to stream on Tubi right now.
Okay.
Tubi. And then Live Screamers, apparently, as far as I could tell, the only way I could find it is it's available for purchase and rent on Amazon. So that was the only way I found it. So I rented it tonight, and yeah, I think it's worth checking out. I think it's, I am very curious to hear, like, you know, other people. Again, I know you folks probably do not watch Twitch. I mean, I know Chris streamed, but like,
yeah,
it's very interesting to check out. And again, I just like the fact that it's a horror, or not just a horror movie, a movie done differently in general. You don't often see, like, you have stuff like Host and stuff where it's people on screen, but having that engagement where you are kind of talking to the audience in some fashion because you are streaming to, quote unquote, an invisible audience.
Right. So it's not like Unfriended where it's like a Zoom call or something. This is more like, I mean, it is, it's exactly what you said. It's streaming, and like, they're performing for their audience as well.
Yeah.
That's neat. I may add, at least the first one, since it's on Tubi.
I check it out. And just to add real quick, it is a sequel, but it's one of those sequels where it's like, it acknowledges the first one happens, and there is like a nod to it, but it's not like, oh, you have to watch the first one and then watch the second one. Yeah.
All right. Spooky season is in full swing, so... I got a little bit of news here, at least some stuff that caught my eye. I guess keeping with spooky season theming, Alien Isolation 2 has it's happening. They're making another Alien Isolation.
Woo! Game. Maybe I should play that for spooky season.
It's 10 years old, Jeff. I can't.
Yeah.
I like that game a lot. I think it is
A
bit too long, but it's very, very good.
It is long, but it's awesome. Like, I think it was underrated at the time, and it's, people have kind of come around on it now as actually being fucking great. But yeah, I don't know.
So much.
I guess it got me all in spooky season, like, in my head. Now I'm like, I just have to buy Silent Hill 2, don't I?
Or go play Resident Evil 2 again, Jeff.
I played that quite a few times already. Alien?
Silent Hill? Sure.
I don't know.
I mean, Alien's probably cheaper. You might own Alien.
I own it. Yeah.
Replay it again. Yeah. So Alien Isolation 2, finally, after years of people kind of like asking for it, they've announced that it's coming out. That is by Tony's studio.
Creative Assembly.
Yeah. So I honestly thought like, oh, like that was kind of like an experimental game for them. And then yeah. then they were
they
like,
never
we're
made
done.
A game that wasn't a game.
Yeah. So it was like, I thought like maybe we would never see it again. Cause for, I don't know why it came out, got very good reviews. People seemed to like it. As Jeff said, they have turned around on it more. Like people really, really love it now. But I did not hold out hope that we were ever going to get another Alien Isolation game.
No.
Good to hear on that front. Less good news, though, is and I posted this. I think Tony and Earl might have seen it, but Until Dawn. One, there's a remake of it, which
is there? Is there really? Yeah.
There is. I knew it was coming. I just didn't know when. That game evidently came out.
No, yeah. No one knew.
Including Sony, who put it out, and it has debuted smaller than Concord's launch. Now, Concord multiplayer game, but it is a game that has, has the notoriety of having launched, and 2 weeks later, Sony yanking that shit store shelves and delisting it. That game's gone now. Right.
Yeah. But to be fair, the difference between this and Concord is it took effort for Sony to keep allowing people to play Concord.
Yeah.
This game is not so much. So you can download it and Sony's like, oh, we don't have to do anything at that point.
Yes. Like there's no multiplayer aspect to it. It's
there are no servers. It's fine. Yeah.
It's a single player narrative game. So
yeah, well, the downside to it, I guess the double downside is it one, from what I can tell, I did enjoy Until Dawn when the Ricky came out, is that apparently they do change up some stuff in it to kind of tease a sequel. And if the initial sales are anything to go by, I don't know if you need a sequel if nobody's buying your remake.
Yeah.
And two, which again, you know, whatever time it was, it was also announced this week that the movie finished wrapping. And I was like, one, I forgot there's a movie. Two, it's kind of that Uncharted issue I had where like you are very much influenced by slashers of like the 80s. So I don't know what you offer a movie genre that doesn't already exist.
And I like Until Dawn quite a bit, but it has that vibe early, Earl, like the slasher vibe, but then it becomes like something really weird later on, like that. It's like blending horror genres together in a weird way, because it's like the slasher thing to start with, and like you kind of have the it's, you know, like I Know What You Did Last Summer, the Gordon Fisherman type slasher guy in the house. And then all of a sudden there's like werewolves or something later on in that game. It's weird. And I really liked it when it came out. I think that Supermassive has done a better job. Like they've kind of like fine tuned how they tell those stories. And I thought the Quarry was fantastic. Much better than Until Dawn. I don't. Who's this movie for?
Well, again, I assume it would. I mean, listen, I will see it. I would say number one, just because I adore him and I think he does fantastic work. This is a David Sandberg movie, and he's done really terrific stuff. You know, say what you will about him being a shitbag now. I did enjoy the first Shazam movie that he directed. The second one we don't talk about as much. I really enjoyed Annabelle Creation. I think it's...
that one's pretty good.
Maybe it's the best Annabelle film, I'm trying to remember. And then Lights Out.
I like that one too.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, he does good work in horror, and I'm happy for him to kind of get out of the bubble of, like, superheroes was not for him. I mean, not again, I think Shazam was really a great movie, but I think the whole kind of, like, everything being micromanaged in question, not just from, like, producers, but also fans, is he's a very soft, cudgy teddy bear. He's a very, like, calming personality. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, but yes, the question would be, I guess, to Tony, is it going to be Borderlands, or is it like, do I go out of my way to see it in theaters, or is it like, oh, so on VOD in like a month, I can watch it at home?
I mean, I'll watch it too, but I am kind of like confused by who they think they're making that for. Do we know if it's going to be an R-rated?
I hope so.
Yeah. Only because, like, you know, there is a tendency for some studios to, like, kind of tone down their horror offering if they're trying to reach a larger audience. And I don't think that works very well with what Until Dawn does.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'd be very, because it is an M-rated game, right?
Yeah.
Or is it T? Yeah. So,
it's M, yeah. Yeah, there's some grisly shit in that game.
Yeah, it'd be weird for them to be like, oh yeah, we can do an M-rated game, but we have to do a PG-13 film.
Yes, but I mean, we did just suffer through Borderlands, so. It suffers, maybe not the right word. But
I think Borderlands is a different case because the actual game, I don't think there's much in a game that is like M. It's always the stupid humor.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Until Dawn's remake not doing great. Like, that might be able to pick that up around Black Friday for cheap.
Very, very cheap. So cheap.
And one other thing that caught my eye, there was an announcement. I think it was today. It's either today or yesterday. Aspyr, who does not have a great track record with their remakes and remasters, but they are bringing, I don't know if you guys remember this game, Jedi Power Battles. It was on the original PlayStation and Dreamcast. And it was like a side-scrolling kind of action platformer. And they're remastering that and bringing it to modern consoles, so... We'll see how that turns out, because they've been hit or miss with their remasters recently. But
and given how you describe the game, I don't think I need that to begin with, even if it's good.
It's kind of fun. I remember playing it like when it came out with friends. We would just like sit around and drink and play it. You might not need it. You're right on that
one. To your initial point. This is announced, and the first thing I thought to myself is like, there was a lot more Star Wars games than I ever knew existed.
Oh, there's a ton of Star Wars games, yeah.
Because there's been a lot of them that's been remastered, but like re-released this generation. And mm-hmm. Like some of them pop up, like, when the hell did this come? Clearly, I know when this came out because it's based off of, I think, Episode 1.
Yes.
So it's very much like a 99, 2000, 2000. But I'm like, I've never heard of this game in my life.
Where is my Shadows of the Empire remaster? I want that. Remake that game.
You just need to straight up remake that game. Like. Yes.
I'm surprised, and I'm surprised Rogue Squadron has never shown up again.
That makes a lot of sense for what Aspyr does too, because they just take the original game and like up-res it, and then just throw it out there. Shadows of the Empire, just because it was an N64 game, like, they'd actually have to do some work to it.
Yeah.
But, like, Rogue Squadron, and, I mean, yes, they were on GameCube, and I guess Rogue Squadron was originally on the N64, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you could do this Rogue Leader. I mean, there's a GameCube one, which is essentially just a prettier remake.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's the one people want. Like, I'm not even gonna look into whatever. But there's been a crap ton of Star Wars games, and some of this is the one. Is this new? And I'm like, oh no, this came out. I've never played this before.
Star Wars game I really want, though, is the Creative Assembly rumored Star Wars Total War game. I want that.
Yes. Yeah. I'd be in for that.
Yeah.
We haven't had a good Star Wars strategy game in a long time. So
Empire at War is like the only one.
Yeah, there was also there were a couple other ones, but Empire at War was the one that was the best one. Yeah, so that's what I saw out there news wise that caught my eye. I don't know if you guys caught anything, but
missed the biggest news of the week.
Did I?
Nintendo announced new hardware.
Oh, Christ. you did tell us about this, and then I completely blocked that shit out of my mind.
I can't stop thinking about it because I have a friend who actually like pre-ordered one. I mean, I know several people who pre-ordered one. But I'm like, it's an alarm clock for $100. I'm missing what are we doing here?
And, well, I didn't catch that it was $100. That's nuts.
Yeah. It's insane. But people are buying it. And I'm just not like, because it's a weird rollout. It was announced yesterday, Wednesday, as of this recording. And it's available for purchase at Nintendo store here in New York, and then you can pre-order it on the Nintendo online store, and it will ship, I think, next month, and then I think it's in other retailers come January of next year or something like that. This morning, one of the first things I see this morning is like Nintendo New York's like, we're sold out of the alarm clocks. We'll let you know when we get more stuff. I'm like, who the hell bought all these alarm clocks? But like, yeah, true to Nintendo, it has like some real life. I mean, I was gonna say it has a real life, but it's an alarm clock. No, you change your users in real life. But like, yeah, very attractive sleeping habits, and it. I don't know. I saw this. I'm like, why? Why does this exist? Like, yes, maybe they have too much money and time on their hands. Like, we gotta have some product that doesn't do well, right? Yeah, I got nothing. I just had to talk about it.
It's pretty wild that's what they decided they're going to push out there. So,
yeah. And then the other thing they announced but didn't announce because we don't know what it is yet, and I did not get in, so I'm kind of pissed, is they dropped the tweet yesterday that there are, you know, essentially looking for beta testers for some new Nintendo Switch Online expansion packs thing. We don't know if it's a service. We don't know what it is. But like, so people signed up today. And, you know, people got selected today. And then I think in like 2 weeks, next week we'll find out what it is. But I, you know, it's never been like them to do something so publicly big or small. But like, I'm curious to see what that is. Then kind of real quick, because we talked about Borderlands a lot, Paramount announced they're doing a Shinobi movie with Sega.
Okay.
Which I think has some potential, though, to what you were saying earlier. Like, that's one, I don't necessarily think Shinobi is like an M-rated game, but like, you know, like that can go either way. Like, it can also be an R-rated movie, depending on how intense you want to make this ninja.
Yeah. I almost feel you have to go, you have to go pretty hard with that. Because otherwise it's going to come off as goofy. Which the game Shinobi can come off as goofy, but
yeah, and that's sometimes the issue. Is like you kind of have that tight rope between like it is kind of like when you look at what the video game was like. It is it's a 16-bit era game. It's like yes, he's like fighting robots and stuff. So am I thinking Strider? That might be Strider. I'm confusing it with. But yeah, we'll see. Again. I also think it's one of those. There's been a lot of video game movies, I think, announced over the past like 2 or 3 years, which have just been announced, and that doesn't mean anything. Because I would love to go back to like somebody announced, because there was like I think Sega announced a bunch of movies with people. And we've heard no road departmental movement on them since then. So we'll see.
Yep. And we'll also be back next week with more games. I'll have more Silent Hill. Jeff will probably have bought Silent Hill. And or maybe he's playing, maybe we're playing Alien Isolation.
I need something. I can't just play Diablo.
Yeah, although, no, I get that.
I am also tempted to just play the Zelda again, but I don't know. Maybe let them wait a little bit and something spooky. Maybe I'll play Pumpkin Jack.
Yeah, maybe you just needed another go at it.
Yeah,
I found it to be quite enjoyable. So, but yeah, we'll have some stuff next week. And with that, we'll be back. This one, you guys will be listening to it. When you are listening to it, it will be a little bit late because I am leaving for South Carolina in 5 hours and 45 minutes. So,
oh, shit.
I'm not going to get this one edited until I get back on Sunday. And then it'll go up Sunday night or Monday morning. Anyway, have a good one. We'll be back. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.